So good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for all of you that came today. And I believe in our walk with the Lord, the most important thing that we do is honor God. Amen. And when you come all the way from Jim, across the mountain, and come to church on Sunday, that's honoring God. And Philip, you and Joe, just thank God for you. Jane, Skyler, Jim, Merlene, Randolph. And got Steve with us today. I think 15 years ago we built this church, and Constance was just a little old tadpole. Now she's done grown up, yeah, mama of two children. And good family.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to honor God. And I thought before we open up with prayer, I'd ask if there's any announcements to make or anything on your mind. Anybody? Pastor Nikki?
No, I'm looking for a pencil.
Well, let's do a little something here. I brought, this is what we've been carrying out on the deck in different places, carried it to the Alderson Bridge and had a service. And can we sing Amazing Grace together?
Grace of freedom.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you for this opportunity to come together and to honor you. And Lord, we want to honor you. I know that everyone that is in this building today, they are seeking more of you.
Yes.
We all have a lot of unanswered questions. Some you will answer, and others we just have to stand on faith. But we want to thank you, Lord, that you are in control. You're taking charge of every situation. Help us, Lord, to trust you and to cast all of our cares, all of our burdens upon you. Lord, there's a lot of trouble. We're in troubled times. People are dying. Some will go to heaven. Some will wind up in hell. We know that only you can save, Jesus. We can pray and the Holy Ghost can convict their hearts. But when we take the last breath, we have determined where we're going to be eternally. And I pray for every soul on this mountain at Indian Meadows. I pray, God, that you would convict us all, starting with the preacher. And Lord, that we could draw nigh to you. And you said, if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. Lord, I look around and we're all getting older every day. We're getting older, closer to eternity. And my prayer, God, is that Pastor Nikki and I will be what this mountain needs. And God, that we can be faithful to this mountain. That we can be faithful to your calling. That we can be there any time, night or day, for someone that needs us. Help us all to be a light on this mountain. Oh, wherever we go. When we're out in traffic, Lord, let us be a light. It's so sad when I see someone with a Christian sticker driving like a maniac. That's not a good testimony. Help us to be a good testimony at Walmart, wherever we go. Lord, help us to be the kind of people that others that are hungry for something that they don't know what it is. Help us, Lord. Help us to be a good testimony. And right now I'm praying for you to come by here. It was so good to step inside this beautiful little place that you built with the heater on. Everything about this place is a miracle, Lord. And yet we still have some of those that drove nails and skin up their hands building your house here. I thank you for that. I thank you for friends, God. I thank you, Lord, that of all the places I've gone, all the places I've lived, the best friends I've ever had in my life is right up here at Indian Meadows. Some of them have probably not understood Pastor Nikki and me sometimes, but we're doing our best, but we're still just people. Help us to look beyond people's faults and see their need. And we all need you right now. We all need you. I know what true love is. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my friends. But Lord, only you can love me the way that I have to be loved from deep within. So I'm asking you to touch those that are going through a hard time. I pray for our mountain, Lord. I pray for the lost world. And I pray for this precious, precious sister of Joe Owens and Sharon that's in an induced coma with that corona in Princeton. Lord, I don't know whether you're going to bring her out. I believe you will. I know you can. But we just trust you and your timing. When it's time to go home, Lord, for me personally, I want to be ready. I don't want to hold on. I want to fight a good fight, keep the faith. When it's my time, go out rejoicing. So right now, I feel your presence. I can hear the brush of angel wings.
I see
glory in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Can we all just sing that? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I can feel His mighty power and His grace in me. I can feel
Sister Merlene, Jim, Skyler, Joellen, Philip, Stephen, Randolph, the two boys, Constance, Millette, James, Randolph, Pastor Nikki, and myself. Let the fresh anointing come. And whatever you're dealing with, and I'm dealing with, may we realize we have the victory over those things. Well, is it easy? No, it's not easy. And none of us in here have all the answers. But we know when He's with us because we feel His presence. We know that something's different going on around us. And God is in this place this morning. He loves us. He knows us by name. He knows us by name. He knows what's going on in our heart. Sometimes we try to hide those things that are really hurting us. The emptiness, brokenness, disappointments, failures. God wants you to know that we're in a sinful world and He sent Jesus to take care of that situation. Thank you, Lord. Bless Him. Let's just receive it. Pastor Nick, let's sing that again. Surely. Joe and Juanita's sister is on a ventilator with the COVID-induced coma. We need to remember that family in prayer. We have Donna Hicks. Most of you know she had a stroke. She's recovering from that. I talked to Bruce. And he said she just really needs a touch from God. You know, we all need a touch from God, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Linda Mays. Didn't her husband pass and then her son within months?
A couple months.
Sharon Owens' brother's in the nursing home. He just loves for Nikki to play that banjo. And, of course, they're all still what you might call isolated. But we do have two outdoor services coming up.
Yes.
Perfect. And we want to keep Constance, dear, precious Constance.
Yes.
We want to keep her in prayer. She's got a husband to love and two boys to raise. And in the name of Jesus, it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes we believe the doctor's report. Sometimes we have to not believe it. We have to believe God's report. And of course, Juanita's still recovering from COVID. And I figured that the family, especially Joe. Joe loves to come to church.
Joe's working.
He's working? Well, I figured he might be staying away for about 14 days. The Morrison family, their father's death. Madonna prays for healing, salvation. Acres for comfort over their daughter's death. Prays for assurance of her salvation, her soul, to be saved at the funeral. And Carol Blankenship.
Yes.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, we all got plenty of time to pray for Carol. Yeah. And I tell you what, all of you are welcome to come over on that deck. Find you a good chair, make yourself comfortable, look over that mountain and pray. You don't have to ask me. You're welcome to come over there and pray. I found it's a good place to pray.
Amen.
Carol's got water on her lungs and some issues. Joe Ellen.
How's your hand?
Healing of the hand and her back. How's it going, Joe?
Good. Better.
Doing good?
Good.
You're going to have to quit hitting Phil. So let's remember our prayer list.
Yes.
All right, Pastor Nikki, you had something that you wanted to do here. He giveth more grace.
That was written by Annie Johnson Flint. And when she was only 4 years old, she lost both of her parents, and I believe she had a sister, and the two of them were given to the Flint family. That's why her last name is Flint. And then she discovered she had a gift of poetry. She loved the Lord, and but arthritis set in when she was just in her teens and got worse and worse to where she couldn't walk and she ended up in a wheelchair. But she wrote this song, and because the Lord has put it on my heart to speak on His grace and how He pours that out on all of us, and that I chose this song. You might have sung it growing up. I don't know. It's an old hymn. Probably in the Baptist hymnal. But He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase.
To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. And of course, in my experience, the Lord has brought me to the point where I realize I have nothing in myself. It's all His grace. It's all His work in me. And Annie Flint found that to be true. I'd like to sing it to you, and you think about your lives and how far the Lord has brought you so far, that you can trust and believe He's going to bring us all the way home. Amen.
Getting together on Sunday, and I want to remind you that May the 7th, Friday night from 7 to 8, the women's going to be meeting over in the youth building. May the 5th, we'll have our first Wednesday night service of singing and preaching, whatever God has for us. And May the 6th is the National Day of Prayer. And I got a phone call. They want me to come and lead the group that's meeting in Princeton to lead the prayer. And so y'all pray for me that maybe I can say or do something to lead someone closer to the Lord. Amen. To be saved. But that's the 5th will be our first Wednesday night service. Let's see, is that next Wednesday? That's not this Wednesday, is it?
No, it'll be okay. The following
Wednesday. I got a doctor's appointment.
Okay. And the 6th will be in Princeton leading the National Day of Prayer. And then Friday night, the 7th, the women's. And I'm going to do my best to get a new floor laid over there this summer. I've decided to just get someone to put a linoleum floor down and try to get that floor done and do some things and make that look nice in there for everybody. I've got to have somebody, and I know Randolph, you and James can't help me, and well, you could, but we've got the TV over there that it's way up too high, and I want to bring it down. And then I've got some very beautiful backdrops I want to put on the walls around, and I want that to be real nice for the kids' Vacation Bible School. So anyway, that anybody can help me, or you know somebody that can help me get some of those things done, I'll get the linoleum laid, and we'll hire somebody. We'll go to the rug company. They'll do a good job for us.
Yes.
Okay. Need a few cabinets built. So, anyway, one more thing while we're at it. I'd like to get the outside of the church and the youth building. Both of them need a coat of paint. And so I may have to hire that done if we can't do it. Okay. All right. Pastor Nikki, what have you got for us now?
What I have for us is this woman that we saw on Facebook. In thinking about grace, I want you to listen to this woman, and you'll see God's grace in her life.
My name is Susan Lewis, and I'm in the rehab unit. It's Allen Care Center. And I know that all of us are in the same quarantine. All of us are at home or here or somewhere, just depending on the Lord to bring us through. I'm very thankful to be in a good place. The care is wonderful, and it's just a hard time in our country right now. I'd like to say a short prayer of a really thanksgiving that we're here, and a prayer for those that are so affected, and those that have loved ones that have been affected and are afraid. As a Christian, we know that we are not to fear, that God will take care of us, and that He's always in control. I just hope that we all have a good night's sleep, a good night's rest, and are able to wake up tomorrow saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be happy in it." My thing is to look for the rainbow, so if you hear a rainbow scattered around in that prayer, this is a pretty good day for that, since there's been so much rain. But there's always, always a rainbow that comes after the rain. This is a promise from God also. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for life. We thank you for love. And most of all, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son that we do have nothing to fear. We put our hope in Him, and we know that someday there is a better place than this, but that You will bring us through whatever You have for us on this earth. We ask, Lord, for patience. We ask, Lord, that You just help us not to fear, put our hope in You. And, Lord, we ask that we always look for the rainbows that You send in our life. We thank You, Lord, for Cheyenne, that sang so beautifully for us today. We thank You for the activities that keep us up, for the hydration that gives us strength, for the food that keeps us going. Lord, we just thank You for our many blessings. Forgive us where we fall short. Forgive us when we feel like we just are in a boat all by ourselves, because we're never all by ourselves. You're always with us. We just ask for Your divine guidance as we go through these troubling times, and Lord, that we always remember how You've been with us through this time, and remember that You'll be with us always. Look for the rainbows in our lives and keep a positive attitude, for this is what You want from us. Thank You, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Isn't that precious?
Yeah.
You can see that her faith in God is strong, can't you? And I see others here whose faith is strong in God. It's as we experience... I thought I turned it back on. It's as we experience life with the Lord, and we see how He brings us through things, that our faith grows, doesn't it? And we see that it's all by grace. That song, Amazing Grace, as you know, was written by John Newton, and he found himself overboard. He was a slave trader, and somehow, I've forgotten how, but he ended up in the turbulent waters, nearly drowned, and he wrote this song later. He came to the Lord as a result and stopped his slave trading and wrote that song, Amazing Grace. And that song has been sung and meant so much to all of us. When I think about how grace taught my heart to fear God, that I didn't have a fear of God. And today there are people that say, well, God is love and He loves me, and there's no hell, and God wouldn't send anybody to hell. But that's not really knowing or understanding God and His holiness, is it? But when He opened my eyes to the truth that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, I, for the first time, understood there really was a hell. He opened my eyes to that, and I realized He had rescued me. His grace pulled me out of the direction I was going and turned me around, turned me toward Himself, and saved my soul. And now it's been 43 years. I've been saved longer than I was unsaved, and I praise Him and thank Him for that.
Amen.
I was saved at 33, so to me that was special too, because Jesus died at 33. So I'm sure you have some special moments and things the Lord has revealed to you in order to draw you closer and help you realize that it's all by His grace. And then, because we are, when we're born again, we have His grace in our lives to extend it to others. And I want to read you a story about a young man that became a pastor. It's called The Son's Friend. After a few of the usual Sunday evening hymns, the church's pastor once again slowly stood up, walked over to the pulpit, and gave a very brief introduction of his childhood friend. He said, "This friend of mine is a father. His son and a friend of his son's were sailing off the Pacific coast," he began, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. So this man he's introducing, he says that this man and his son and a friend of his son's were sailing, and a storm came up. The waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he couldn't keep the boat upright. And the three were swept into the ocean. The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers who were, for the first time since the service began, looking somewhat interested in the story. He continued, "So grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life. To which boy would he throw the other end of the line? He only had seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian, and he also knew that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrent of waves. As the father yelled out, 'I love you, son,' he threw the line to his son's friend. By the time he pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beyond the raging swells. Sorry. Into the black of the night, and his body was never recovered." By this time, the two teenagers in the church were sitting up in their pew, waiting for the next words to come out of the old man's mouth. "The father," he continued, "knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into an eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son. How great is the love of God that he should do the same for us." With that, the old man turned and sat down in his chair as a silence filled the room. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers ran up to the old man's side. "That was a nice story," politely started one of the boys, "but I don't think it's very realistic for a father to give up his son's life in hopes that the other boy would become a Christian." The old man replied, "Well, you've got a point there," glancing down at his worn Bible, and a big smile broadened his narrow face, and he once again looked up at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm sitting here today to tell you that that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his son for me." And then he said, "You see, I was the son's friend." And evidently that's a true story. A friend of ours hands these out to people to help them understand the love of God. And that's why I put on the front of our bulletin, "Jesus on the cross, such love, such wonderful love. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son." And that's grace, isn't it? Grace is giving something that we don't deserve at all. We all know that we're sinners. We've broken God's law. We can't approach a holy God. He can't have any sin in his presence. And so he sent his son to pay the price for our sin, that we might have eternal life, as you know, that our sins might be forgiven. And a songwriter, Mark Hall, wrote these words. He was struck with the realization that he had no business being friendly with God of the universe. And yet here he was, in the car close to the Lord, born again, and he wrote, "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. But because, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. I am a flower, quickly fading here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours." Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
We all can say that. Who am I that God would consider me, that he would send his son to die in my place, that I might be with him eternally? These are beautiful words. John 1:14. John tells us about Jesus here. "And the Word," that's Jesus, the living Word, "the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We all deserve death. We all deserve hell, but God in his grace has caught each and every one of us that are willing to receive his gift. Grace is an unmerited gift. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. And the gift is given, and it's ours to receive, and it'll never be taken back. We're not supposed to give a gift and then say, "I want it back," are we?
Amen.
No. If it's truly a gift, it's given freely, and it's ours to keep forever. Jesus is our gift to keep forever. We can choose to reject that gift, but his grace is there. He opens our eyes to the fact that we even need him, doesn't he? That in itself is grace. Ephesians 2:4-8. You're probably familiar with these verses. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, livened us, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved." There's that word again. Unmerited favor, "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Spiritually, that's where we are, in Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. And by his Spirit, we can receive whatever the Lord wants us to know while we're here on this earth. One day we're going to see him face to face in heaven, but now, spiritually, we're connected to the Lord Jesus by his Spirit, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Think about all the sin that's been committed in the world. Murders, blasphemies, selfishness, hatred, anger, immorality of all kinds. While we were yet in sin, Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for all of us, so that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The angels are all going, "Look at the grace of God. Look at the love of God. That it's unconditional. He loves no matter what his creation has done." And we're all going to just
worship and bow down. I was in awe that he would pay the price for me, for my sin, and woo me back to himself. It is wonderful. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's nothing we can do to earn the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of our sin. It is a gift of God. I can't imagine rejecting it, can you? There may be some who will. We won't know, but the Lord will know. You know, the Lord in his mercy, even those last final moments when the brain is still alive and the person appears dead to us, the Lord can reach him. And we'll try, I'm sure, because he doesn't want any to perish. And then 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. We talk about the grace of God for salvation, but we also have the grace of God to suffer whatever we are going to go through on this earth, like that woman in the nursing home. What grace? The grace of God. We don't lift up the woman, we lift up the Lord Jesus. He has done that in her life. He has brought her to that point where she knows she's close to death, but she's thanking him for her life. She's thanking him for the bed she's in. She's thanking him for the care of the people in the nursing home, the food. And she's praying for all of us out here that are suffering through this COVID virus. And it's the grace of God. He gets the glory. Look in your own life what grace he's brought you through. I was told I was going to get worse and worse with my mental problems, that one day I'd be in a mental ward and just babbling away to myself, not knowing who I was or not knowing who anybody else was. But you've all known me for 15 years now up on this mountain, and I don't think you've seen me out of my head, have you? God's grace. He's taught me that he will always be there. The times I've been afraid, I've learned that his grace is sufficient and it's going to be there. And then the almost 30 years now that Pastor Buck has been going into nursing homes and me with him at 27 years as his wife, we have seen the grace of God in so many elderly people and disabled people in the nursing homes. We maybe told you that recently a dear friend of ours named Denise, and she's been in our, I put her in our newsletter a few times. Denise went to be with the Lord, and she had, what do you call it, when the tube for the urine and the tube,
colonoscopy.
She had a colonoscopy and urology.
Yeah. And, probably the same thing.
At any rate, she couldn't go to the bathroom by herself. She smelled. There was no way to keep her from smelling. And the nurses and staff smelled her whenever they entered her room. When we brought her to church, we could smell. But you know what? God's grace was there for us.
Yes,
where
yes.
We loved her and we hugged on her, and the smell just almost dissipated because we just, God put it in our hearts and minds that we didn't mind, we didn't care. We just wanted to show her the love of Jesus.
Yes,
and he gave us the grace to minister in nursing homes all these years and put up with the smells and just love on the people and tell them about Jesus, that he loved them. And we saw them pray for us and love on us, and just saw the grace of God. Which, the reason I put this, that woman up here on the screen, was to remind all of us as we face the days ahead and wonder,
Am I going to end up in a nursing home? Am I going to have Alzheimer's? Am I going to suffer a stroke and not be able to feed myself? Maybe, but we don't have to fear. The grace of God will be there for each and every one of us. And that reminds me of Corrie Ten Boom, who as a little girl accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And she realized through reading scriptures with her grandpa and her dad, mother, they would read the scriptures every day at the dinner table. She realized that persecution would one day come to her. And she said, "Dad, Daddy, I'm afraid I won't be able to hang on to my faith. I won't be able to follow Jesus if I'm persecuted." And he said to her, "Honey, when do I give you the ticket before you get on the train?" And she said, "When I step on board." And he said, "That's the way it'll be with the Lord Jesus. When you're faced with something you think you can't do or can't bear, the Lord Jesus will hand you the ticket, the grace, the ability. And you will bring glory to the Lord. You will show others his grace in your life." And I heard recently that a man came to know the Lord Jesus because he saw the grace in his friend's life. He visited him every day. He was dying of cancer. He visited him every day, and he watched that man, full of love and patience and belief, faith in the Lord Jesus, right to the end, sweet-natured all the way to the end, did not curse God, did not stop believing in God. And when that man died, the fellow that was his best friend at the funeral stood up and said, "His suffering led me to the Lord Jesus." So, beloved, let's trust the Lord with our lives. Are you willing to let him use you to show forth his grace, his mercy, his love to others, and trust that whatever you're going through can end up being a rainbow, like the salvation of that young man? The father rescued him and let his son die, drown in the waves out of grace, the grace of God for the man, that the young boy that he saved, who became a pastor and was able to tell others this story about the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, how Jesus gave his life for us. And we, as his believers, are able to give that grace and mercy to others, aren't we? Even when we get angry at somebody, the way they've treated us, we go to the Lord and he pours out his grace and mercy, his truth, his word. He said, "I paid the price for you. Are you willing to let that person go and let me handle it? Because I know the best way, the perfect way to handle the problem. You let go, show him some grace and mercy the way I did." And I was going to read 2 Corinthians 12:9. You remember how Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and three times he said, "Oh God, would you remove this?" He probably thought he could minister better if it was removed. And some think it was his eyesight, because he mentions in one of his letters, "Do you see how big I wrote my name?" And then another letter where he says, "So-and-so wrote this for me." So whatever the thorn was, God spoke to him and said, "My grace, there's that word again, my grace, unmerited favor, ability to do what I call you to do, it's sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So when we're weak, we look at things in the physical and say, Lord, I could do a better job if I could walk. I could do a better job if I weren't suffering with cancer or a stroke. But God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul's response is, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me, and that he'd be able to show the power of Christ to others. Have you seen it in the lives of others? Jim, did you see it in your mother's life as she faced the end of her days? We saw it in Art's life, didn't we? As he suffered Alzheimer's and he stood up here in church and we all helped him with the words to sing the song, and we saw the grace of God in his life, the love of others that they poured into his life, and his love that he had for others, especially children. Art loved children, didn't he? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Boy, can we get to that point, huh? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. Are we living for Jesus, or are we living for self? Even as Christians, we sometimes get too involved with self. We need to spend time in his presence, get his perspective, and then we're able to say, nevertheless, thy will be done. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you want to be strong spiritually?
Yes.
Give up self and receive the grace of God in whatever situation you're going through. Jim, we know you're looking for a new job. Have you found one yet? But God has a perfect place. He may want you to tell the story of salvation to somebody in Charleston or in Princeton or wherever the Lord sends you. Whereas sometimes we think of just, I need money for this and for electricity, and I want a job like so-and-so. I want a job I really have fun at. I want a job that's only 8 hours a day, and I want to have insurance. And Buck's always, whenever I start doing stuff like that, he brings up, I, and I have to repent and say, Lord, you know what's best. And Buck has often said, you know, he would go around the world to save one soul. What is one soul worth? So, beloved, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I'll close with, his grace, he's there for us. He's going to provide everything we need for his kingdom's sake. And he loves us. We're already saved if we've given our hearts to Jesus. We've repented of our sin and we've allowed him to be Lord of our lives. So if he takes us out because of cancer, we don't know what his purpose was. He might have been saving the nurse that was caring for us or someone else. We're going to visit a man Monday that's been listening to the radio broadcast every day. They stop whatever they're doing, make sure they're ready, and they turn on the radio at 9 o'clock and listen. And twice the caregiver has called and said, send us a copy of that service. Now, we don't know why he wants it, or we thought you already heard it, you know, but he called, and the Lord put it on my heart. Well, before I say that, the caregiver called us one day, and he said, my wife is fighting cancer. Would you pray for her and me? And he said, this man that I'm caring for as Alzheimer's, and he lost his wife recently, and he feels like giving up. Would you pray for him? Well, just a few days ago, the Lord started bringing to mind, go visit him, go visit him. So, and this young man had given us the address and his phone number, so I called, and he said, oh, he'd love that. And so we're going to go, and we have no idea how the Lord wants to minister to him or save him. His sister-in-law thinks he's not born again. But we don't know. The Lord knows. But the Lord is pouring out his grace, and he's giving us the heart, his heart, to give up the 3-4 hours it's going to take to drive to Beckley. And I'm going to take the violin, and Buck will take the harmonica or the cue cord, and Chris is the name of the caregiver. He said he loves Beulah Land and what was the other one? And then
just
a closer walk. So we'll be playing those. You can be in prayer that God's grace will be poured out and this man will be strengthened, brought closer to the Lord Jesus, and that Alzheimer's does not prevent a person from coming to know the Lord. So it just shows the Lord's grace that he will take us, if we're willing, and use us to show forth God's plan of salvation, his grace, his love, and his mercy. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, Paul says, by the grace of God, I say, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Paul recognizes that even though physically he was laboring and going everywhere to preach the gospel, he had given up everything else in his life, but to go out, go wherever Jesus sent him to preach the gospel, in synagogues, in public places, in Greece, in Italy, board a ship that shipwrecked and he ended up on an island. And it didn't matter to him. All that mattered was to tell the story of Jesus. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And that's why I titled the sermon, God's Grace is with You. So whatever you're facing, take it one day at a time. And just hang on tight. As Pastor Buck said, abide. Abide in the Lord Jesus. The grace of God is with us and gives us the ability. And I'd like one more song for you all to open to. 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, page 175. And then Pastor Buck will close us. 175. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And I bet this writer of these words has a story to tell also about the grace that she received. Does anybody have something after we sing the song to tell us about the grace of God in your life?
Rest upon his promise.
Trash and stuff in my body. It was terrible, the life I was living. And yet God gave me time to get right.
Amen.
And at 43 years old, I stopped running from God. And when I stopped running from God, He was right there. See, He said, "I'll never leave nor forsake you." And even in sin, Jesus won't walk away. God the Father can't look upon sin.
Amen.
But Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He didn't say it was a condition that you've got to be perfect. He just said, "I'll be with you no matter." I'm so glad. Turning 77, I had 6 months to live at 43. By God's grace, He's let me grow to be an old man. I'm proud of Jesus. I don't know how much longer he's going to give me, but I know I still got his grace. I ain't lost it, Jim. Now, you see, if you're born again, you're in a covenant. You might get off track. You might go down a bad road, but that's the Holy Ghost's job to bring us back. And sometimes he brings us back quick. Sometimes it takes longer. But God is not going to give up on none of us. No matter what we do, God is not going to give up on us. And that's why we should never give up on each other. We should never give up. You might say, well, that old dog can't learn a new trick. That old person has been doing that so long, he's going to die. He still ain't going to be what he should be. Don't give up on that person. You know, it's God's love. God's judgment's coming. And we don't have a whole lot of time, JoJo. We don't have a whole lot of time. But you'll never win anybody by condemning them and putting them down. You're going to win them with the love that says, hey, we all need Jesus. Some of us is really in bad shape, but there's nothing too hard for Jesus. So I invite you to come today. I invite you to come on up here. Try to do it God's way. Try to do it God's way. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. He loves old people and he loves children. And everything in between. So won't you come today? Won't you come? 15 years I've been given the invitation. A couple years ago, I said, God, nobody's getting saved. And God reminded me, I can't save nobody. My job is to put the word out and plant the seeds. And then it's, the Spirit takes over. The Spirit deals with little children. The Spirit deals with old people. Nikki led a 103-year-old man to the Lord a few years ago. And this guy we're going to go see tomorrow, they're worried he's going to commit suicide. Let me tell you something. If you've never experienced a family member or seen someone commit suicide, it's horrible. Her mom and dad committed suicide. It was horrible to look at them. The life was gone. The soul went out into eternity. I'm not going to judge them. With their last breath, the thief on the cross said, remember me, Lord. Jesus said, today. You don't have to get your act together, but today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus can save quick, instantly. Say this in closing today. Don't never get tired of hearing the invitation. Because once you get tired of hearing the invitation, it's going to be that much harder to get right with God. Keep your heart tender. Keep your mind open. You may not agree with a lot of things in this Bible. And there's a man that believed that lives on this mountain. Man believed if you was good and you helped others, that it was a sure thing to go to heaven. And about 2 years after him and his wife came to church, his wife come to me and said, Buck, I want you to know, you saved his soul. Well, I could have went into religion and said, well, I can't save nobody and all that stuff. But I just said, I'm glad that he made it right with Jesus. That's the thing that we need to care about, if people just get right with Jesus. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, boy, are you worried about a little splinter in somebody's eye when you got a two before stuck through your eye?
Right.
So, you know, it's, I think it's what makes this church special. That this is not a church just for perfect people.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, you're welcome to come and worship here at this community church.
Yeah.
But don't get tired of hearing the invitation. I'm not going to get tired of giving the invitation.
Good.
So if you don't want to hear it, you better just stay home. Because I'm going to give the invitation, because you never know. I've seen it happen. I've seen people listen to preaching for years and years, and then all of a sudden you give the invitation. And I've seen them run, almost run and tackle me to get saved.
I was there.
Yeah. This guy was in the back, and I gave the invitation. I noticed the tears had been coming down his eyes, the whole message. I gave the invitation, and he jumped up out of that chair and running, and almost knocked me over. I want to get saved now! You never know when that's going to happen.
It's the Lord.
Yes. Amen. And just remember, you don't have to be a big person to get saved.
No.
You can get saved. Little children can get saved. I'm going to say this and then we'll close. Constance, your boys has been watching me like mighty close.
Yeah.
I want to say to something special in your family.
Yes, amen.
So don't walk in fear over your heart. God knows those boys need a mom. They need Constance. Amen. And they know that Jesus loves them. The one hadn't taken his eyes off me the whole service, Jim. Planting seeds in good ground. Has anybody got anything you want to say? Is your water doing good now? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I just feel like any time somebody gives me an opportunity, I need to stand up and say, God is good. God is good. In Revelation it says that let the testimony of your heart bring, and I ain't getting it out, but he knows. Yeah. And I just praise him for all he's done for me, and that he continually to bring me back to where I can hear his voice.
Amen.
And when you get in disobedience, you know it, and you don't hear the voice, and you've got to just come back to God and give it all to him, and then he'll restore that joy of your salvation, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen. And Joe, let me say this. We went to town yesterday in the rain and all. And we come back. I always love to come down and look at the church and youth building. I've seen your car here. And I told Nikki, I said, that makes me feel so good. We gave Joelle the key to the church. And she was in here praying.
Lord.
She was in here drawing closer to God. This little Randolph, what size was this? 20 by 40?
Yeah.
This little 20 by 40 room. And then we cut some off of that to make the bathrooms, didn't we, James? We cut some of the 40 feet off to make the bathroom, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Joe, That just blessed my heart. You come anytime. That's why we got heat going in the youth building, and we got heat here. And please don't say I'm wasting money. Please don't do that. We're not wasting money when we're thinking about a good warm place to come and pray. To come, shut the door, come and pray. Or go over there and spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's good. I feel good today. How about Steve? I just want to say you're a good husband. You're a Christian man.
Yes.
And you got a beautiful family. And I know you won't forget that out there traveling all the time. Constance, you're a good mommy. I just love you. I never knew you'd grow up to be a mama. I always thought you'd be little like that.
By God's grace, Constance, the Lord gave you a wonderful husband.
Yes, we prayed for that.
Saved you.
I pray that Constance don't get upset, but Constance years ago had her eyes on this boy, and we just thought that he was trouble. We just thought that we thought he wasn't good enough for Constance. And so we prayed. Grandma prayed. Pastor Nicky prayed. And you're what come out of the prayer, Steve. Oh, praise the Lord. That's so good. That's so good.
But we're still praying for that other young man. But,
Well, if you can raise your head back, I want you to look at this ceiling.
Beautiful job.
James Carrico, Randolph Cantrell laid these tiles.
Perfectly.
Straight as an arrow.
Well, it was perfect because James.
Because James.
I think Randolph went off a little bit. James made him take every bit down and redo it, right?
Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for another.
Amen.
And I would find no problem, Randolph. I find no problem, James, laying down my life for you.
Amen.
That's what it took.
James,
or you. Jim. Or anybody else.
Anybody, I was going to say that, or anybody else.
Well, we can all stand and listen. If y'all... We don't have too many people coming now, but if y'all too much trouble to get a CD and listen to our services, then I'll quit making them because it takes a long time. But if you'd like the CD, hey, take one and give it to a friend or something. But... CDs are back there for you, no charge. Okay? Alright. All mine's clear. Alright, you ready?
Ready. You'll start the music.
I'll start
with the computer. It's all by grace. Ready. The first one there. They will know. They will know.
I'm looking.
I'm
looking. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love y'all.
I love you. Thank you for your love.
Oh,